At some point, I'm sure everybody here has been lost. Everyone been lost at some point? Yes. Yeah, it's a horrible feeling, isn't it, when you find out that you're lost. And I remember one time, just after we moved here to Great Harwood, so it would have been in, I think, 2012 or early 2013, me and Hannah and our oldest child, who was just a baby that time, we went out for a walk without a map. And we headed out from our house into the countryside, and it was lovely. And we decided to sort of keep going and try looping back into town. And I now know that we left Great Harwood over by Memorial Park, I think following the nature trail, going out towards Worley. And then we looped back and followed the old pilgrim trail along by Bowley Scout Camp. The problem was, we didn't really know where we were going. And when we got back at the top of the town, it's very different at the top of the town to the bottom of the town. So we knew we'd found somewhere, but we didn't know where it was. And we're there, and I've got the baby in the backpack, so nice and heavy. So going back is really out of the question. And we're sort of wandering down this place, saying, I think it's Great Harwood, but we're not too sure. And as we wandered down into town, we eventually spotted a landmark, the chimney with all the mobile phone masts on. And then we knew that we were back in town, and actually, we were nearly at our house. We just didn't realize it at the time. Now, it's horrible when you go out and you get lost. Now, in that case, we were only slightly lost, but sometimes we can get very lost, can't we? And there's always this moment, isn't there, when you're going along and you think you're okay, but then you get that unease in you and you start to feel, yes, this isn't quite right. And then you suddenly realize you're absolutely lost. You've got no idea where you are. And it is a sickening feeling. But it's better to go through that sickening feeling than to keep on carrying on regardless and not realizing that you are lost. And Jesus told this parable here in Luke chapter 15 to just draw out how lost some people are. And some of the people he was talking to, they knew they were lost. And other people, they didn't actually know that they were not where they thought they were. Now, parables in the Bible are stories that teach spiritual truth. And they're also stories which often have unexpected twists and turns in them. So they're like tales of the unexpected. The problem that we have is that often we're so familiar with the parables that we don't notice the twists and the turns. So just for a minute, I want to try and retell this parable in a sort of modern day scenario. So, a rich businessman, he had two sons. Now, the younger son decided one day that he could no longer wait for his dad to die. And he decided that he wanted his inheritance money right here, right now. And this was all done very publicly, and everyone was talking about it. And then, much to the surprise of his neighbours, instead of kicking this disrespectful son out, the father decides to sell his Mercedes, and he sells his caravan, and he downsizes his house in order to release the money to give his youngest son his share of the inheritance. Well, shortly after this, the youngest son decides to go on a spending spree. He goes off around the world enjoying himself. He visits exotic locations. He climbs mountains. He goes to African game reserves. He spends plenty of time in Las Vegas. Everywhere he goes, he parties, spending the money like there is no tomorrow. He tries it all. He tries drink. He tries drugs. He tries girls. And when the girls aren't available to him, he turns to the prostitutes. He really lets his hair down and he enjoys himself. And it's all going well until he runs out of money on the other side of the world, far from home. And all those friends he had just disappear as soon as the money is gone. And he ends up on the street, begging and picking through rubbish bins. Eventually, he comes to his senses. He realizes that he would be better off at home with his dad. His dad has got a small business, and his dad might be willing to take some him on as extra staff. His father pays a good wage and there's a pension and all sorts of benefits. So he rehearses the little speech. Dad, I'm sorry. I've made mistakes and I've treated you terribly. Please forgive me. And could you give me a job, please? Then he spends ages begging and scraping together the money to get his one-way ticket home. And when he's back, he can't even afford a taxi from the airport. So he walks back to his hometown. Meanwhile, back at home, his dad has never forgotten this disrespectful son. And each day he's glancing up the road to see if his lad is coming home. And one morning, much to his surprise, he sees him. So he rushes out the house, up the road, in the rain, wearing his slippers, and greets his returning son. And he's so excited and filled with joy, he wants to have a party. And he's so delighted to see him back. He doesn't even let the son finish his little speech about asking for forgiveness. Instead, he gets him into the house, gets him some new clothes, and they decide to hire the town hall for a party. And everyone, all the neighbors who know what the son's done, are invited in. The lad is welcomed back and he's restored. However, there's a problem. The elder brother. The elder brother, he's settled down. He lives in the same street. He's working for his father in the business. And he's not happy to see his younger brother back at all. And he refuses to go into the party, which is bad news because he's down as the DJ. So the party's not working properly without the older son going in. And he's just out there in the car park moaning about how unfair all this is. He's been working for years. He's been looking after the family while his brother has just wasted all his money on wild living. And now he's having a party. It's just not fair. And the father, he goes out to the car park to see the older brother. And the old man, he sighs deeply and he's filled with sorrow. And he says, son, I love you as much as your brother. Will you come in and join the party, celebrating that your brother is back? He's safe and he's with us again. And that's where the story ends. We never know if the older brother goes into the party. Now, told like this, the story's got a lot more meaning, hasn't it, than it was in the Bible reading. The Bible reading, it's that sort of story for that time. That's what the story would be like for us today. And in this story, we see three characters. We see the father and we see the two sons. And we're going to think about each of these in turn because each one of them has got a lesson for us. And I want to start off with the younger son because he's the most prominent character, but he's not the most important. The most important character is the father. And that's because the father is a picture of what God is like and how he treats people. Now, in order to understand this parable, we have to recognize that everything that we have comes from God. Even our lives originate with him. So this morning, if you're in this building and you are breathing, it means that you've been blessed by God. And I think that's everyone looking around, which is good news. So everyone here has been blessed by God in one way or another. And every good thing that we have comes from God. Now the younger son is like the person who wants to take all the good things from God, but doesn't want to give anything back. And he doesn't want anything to do with him. So it's like the younger son. He's saying, give me my inheritance now because I wish you were dead. And sadly, that's how many people treat God today. They live their whole lives living as if God isn't there, and they don't want any reference to him whatsoever. Now, sometimes these people, they go completely off the rails, and they end up in a world of drugs and drink and abuse. Sometimes they don't. All of them have got the same sort of attitude. The attitude of the younger brother says, I am free to make my own decisions, my own choices. No one can tell me what to do. And everything I've got through my own efforts. And people like this just find themselves going further and further away from God. And while the money lasts and the friends and the family are around, it all goes well. But deep down inside, they know something is not right. Because there's a void there that they keep trying to fill with experiences. With things that help them forget who God really is. With things that help them forget who they really are. And some people, it's all perfectly legal and above board according to our society. With other people, it's illegal and not right, and everyone can see that it's wrong. People just keep on looking for new things because they are never quite happy with what they have got. And while it lasts, it's fine. But eventually the money runs out. Their health fails. They end up alone. And it all catches up with them. And at that point, they realize that they are lost. The question is, what will they do about it? Sadly, many people decide to tough it out, to keep on going. They know that they're not happy. They know that they're in the wrong place. But to go back would be unthinkable. They're self-reliant, and even though there are dark days ahead, they keep on going without hope. Isn't that a terrible place to be? What those people need to do is what the younger son did and realize that they need to make a U-turn and they need to go back to God. And hopefully you've picked up from this parable how God welcomes people back and how they can be forgiven and receive a fresh start. But we will talk more about this when we think about the father. Let's turn now to the older brother. Now, the big surprise is that the older brother is just as rebellious as the younger brother, just that his rebellion is hidden. Jesus actually told this parable to a group of people called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were upset because all the bad people in society were coming to Jesus and being welcomed. So the bad people in society were like the younger brothers. But the good people, the Pharisees, they're the older brothers. And they thought that they were okay. They thought that they were in the right place. And they weren't happy at these other people coming and being accepted by God. So Jesus is really aiming the parable at the older brother. People who think that they're okay, but they're not. And here we see a person who has done everything right, who's never been openly rebellious, and they've never squandered and wasted the good things that God has given them. Yet despite outward appearances, there is something wrong inside. Now, sometimes people like this can be found attending churches. They may even be involved in serving in the church. But they are only really there because it's what people, maybe their family, expect from them. Maybe their attitude each week is, if we can just get through the Sunday service, then we can have a bit of fun. And if they're doing anything in the church, they're doing it through gritted teeth. Even today, there may very well be people like this in every church, even our own. But more often than not, the older brother, they're people who have left church now. And they're people who are living good, upright, respectable lives. And they attend church once or twice a year. Maybe they occasionally drop in for special events. Maybe they went to church as children, even for a while as grown-ups. But they have just drifted away. They are outwardly respectable, law-abiding people whose relationship with God is distant. They never really want to talk to him. They never say thank him. But they expect God to look after them and provide for them. And they'll only cry out to God when something goes wrong. And then they expect God to do exactly as he is told. They only have any contact with God for what they can get out from him. And sadly, these people are abusing God just as much as the younger brother. But with these people, it's often hidden to the eyes of men. But God, who knows all things, sees and understands the reasons why we behave as we do. So how does God respond to these two different sorts of people? Both of them are lost. One of them is clearly lost and obviously lost, and everyone can see it, while the other one doesn't realize that they are lost. Both of them are invited into the party. The party is the place where people who have trusted in God are found. They're ones who are celebrating being in that relationship with him. And it's filled with people who know that they have made terrible mistakes in the past, who have gone a long way from God, and they've done things which... No, it's really bad. If you knew some of the things that some people had done, you wouldn't think that they'd have any right to come into church whatsoever. But God wants people to come back to him. He is a God of love, a God who forgives, and a God of grace, even though it costs him an awful, awful lot. In the story, we saw how the man, he gave the sons all those things, and he didn't get them back. And it was costly for him and his reputation in the community to welcome the younger son back. It's costly for God to welcome people back who have ignored him. Because every time we ignore God, every time we don't give thanks to him for the things that we have received from him, every time we live as if he does not exist, we're accumulating a debt. It's a debt that goes on and it builds right through our lives. And the God who is love is also the God who is perfect and the God who will only let people into heaven who have got no debt whatsoever. So everyone who ignores God deliberately, or the people who think that they're all right but aren't, they're all accumulating this debt. And God cancels that debt because he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And the Lord Jesus, when he came to earth, he lived a perfect life, but then he died a terrible death. And when he died that terrible death, what's happening there is God is taking all of that debt and putting it on him. And he is paying that debt so that people can be forgiven and welcomed back. And now all those people who realize that they are in the wrong place with God, all those people who realize that they are lost, at the moment, the door to the party is open. But they need to recognize that they are lost. They need to recognize that they're in the wrong place. And they need to reach out to God. God has promised that everyone who reaches out to him will be forgiven. So this morning, where are you? That's the question that we need to ask. Are we off somewhere terrible, like the younger son, living a life which even we're not particularly happy with, doing all sorts of things, and we're just looking for another pleasure, something else to fill that void? Are we there? Or are we the respectable person who has a very distant relationship with God? And maybe if we're doing something in the church, or we're trying to be really good and we're giving money to charity and things like that, we're sort of doing it through gritted teeth, we're seething and we're not very happy. But we expect God to be there for us because we're such good people. Or are we people in the party? The people who have recognized that we need forgiving, who have turned to God and asked him to forgive us, who have said sorry for the things that we have done wrong. And the good news about that party, it's filled with people who were lost, but those people have now been found, and that party will go on forever. Amen.